Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our new venue.
Amen.
Thank you for a new day in our church. Thank you for new dimensions. Thank you for new heights, new growth, new members, and new blessings in the name of Jesus. That as you're promoting the church, so are you promoting every individual. Because we are the church, the body of Jesus Christ. So thank you for lifting us all up into a bigger place, into a more comfortable place in life. We pray for people who are struggling, Lord, that Lord, you will lift us up out of our struggles into a comfortable place, a new place, a new level in the name of Jesus. Give us new zeal, give us new energy, give us a new drive for loving you and for serving you. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Right. This week we're starting in the Lighthouse Church another Feeding 527 season. Amen. As you all know, 527 is when we take one of the beautiful books that God has blessed us with, and we basically go through chapter by chapter, and that forms the basis of our sermons and our studies and our prayer meetings and so on and so forth. Amen. So today we're starting with this book you see here, which is a book with a Greek title. Hallelujah. It's a book with a Greek title called Lycos. Yes. And so, as usual, everyone is going to have one of these. Amen. Everyone is going to get one of these. Now, like I said, the book is Lycos. Lycos is a Greek word, which means everything that's written here. It means laymen. It means lay people. It means lay pastors. And it means volunteers. Amen. So it is basically referring to the ordinary member of the church. Hallelujah. Ordinary Christians and ordinary people who get involved in the work of God. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things we need to understand is that God's plan for our survival in the faith. Oh, did we pray? We didn't. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to study this book. We pray, Lord, that you break the seals of this book and open our eyes to understand the truths that are hidden in here. We pray for understanding of the scriptures, and we pray that when this is over, we as a church will be a church full of lay people, laymen, ordinary people engaged in the work of God for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. All right. Now, so the foundation for this teaching is found in Ephesians chapter 4. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians and chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and maybe we can start from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but unto us, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. That means you're given grace to correspond with the size of your gift. Hallelujah. Yeah, God has given grace to go with the size of the gift that He has given us. It's like the grace of God is like a plate, you know, and the gift of God is the piece of cake or whatever you're going to put on the cake, on the plate. And God has not given you a plate that is too small for your gift. You see what I'm saying? So God looks at the gift that He is giving to you, and He gives you a platter that can carry it nicely and smoothly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. So it says, for unto everyone, everyone. So you shouldn't be jealous of someone's gift. And you shouldn't be jealous of someone's grace. Hallelujah. And you should understand that God has given you, if He has given you the gift, then He has given you the grace to carry it. Amen. To grace to carry it and the grace to walk in that gift and to do what you are supposed to do with the gift. Amen. Right. So, but unto everyone is given, it says grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift or the gift of Christ. Right. Then verse 8 says, wherefore He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When He ascended up on high. Now, let me just pause for a second. I am not enjoying turning this way to read and turning my back to you. So I think I'm going to move this. Does that help? I told you we're experimenting every day. So we have to keep moving things around until we have. By the way, do you prefer these seats? I think they're better than the ones we had last week. Okay. Every week improvement. Everybody say every week improvement. Amen. Every week we must do something new in this church. Hallelujah. All right. So I think this is easier, right? And then I'm not in your way. Yeah. See, I'm not the important person here. The Word of God. This is so I'd prefer that your focus is on this. Amen. All right. So it says, wherefore He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Amen. He gave gifts unto men. Then verse 9 is in brackets or parentheses, which means that it is just explaining what He just said, isn't it? So now He that ascended, that is the one who went up, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, right? And the next verse. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Now, remember that in verse 8, go to verse 8. Verse 8, He did say that, wherefore He said, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. Do you understand? In other words, He arrested the arrester. Does it make sense? Yeah? The person who captures people was captured. Right? So He led captivity itself, the ability to be captured, for people to be held in bondage. That whole concept and phenomenon of being in bondage, whether it is being in bondage to drugs or to alcohol or to fornication or to anything that you cannot break yourself free from, means that you are not in control. The thing is in control of you. Now, He said He captured that phenomenon. Do you see? So now the one who holds people prisoners is himself a prisoner. So in that he's supposed to lose his ability to capture anybody else. Does it make sense? Yeah, because if you arrest the one who arrests people, then he himself cannot arrest anybody. Have you seen any of these police officers in trouble? They lose immediately. They put them on administrative leave because they lose immediately the ability to arrest anybody else. Hallelujah. So every follower of Christ is liberated from anything that otherwise captures us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So in the book of Romans, there's a verse that says that anyone you yield yourself to, anyone you surrender yourself to as a captive, you become a captive of that person. Because it's like from now on, captivity is voluntary. It's by choice. It's on demand. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You ask to be captured. Because Christ has set us free and there is no longer a need to remain in bondage. Say amen. Right? So this is what he is saying, that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and then he gave gifts to men. Do you see? So then he has to explain how come he was able to capture captivity. So in verse 9, he's showing us what actually happened. That the guy we are talking about who went up is the same who went first. Before he went up, he went to the lower parts of the earth. Do you see? Yeah. And then the next verse, verse 10, right? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens that he might fill all things, right? So the reason why he was able to capture hell itself was because before he ascended into heaven, he actually descended into hell and took the keys. Do you see? The handcuffs. You see? The capturing elements. He took them and took control and possession of them. Hallelujah. And then from there he went to heaven. Right. So what he's saying says he went down, 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 and then went up, up, up so that he would be everywhere. So his influence would be everywhere, that he might fill all things. I think you understand why. Okay. So verse 11, then we are continuing with what he was saying before. Does it make sense? Right? And what was he saying before? That means we have to connect verse 8 to verse 11. Do you get it? Right. So verse 8 says, what does verse 8 say again? Verse 8, quickly, please. Verse 8 says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Right? Then we have to jump now to verse 11. Verse 11 says what the gifts are. Okay? So, and he gave some apostles. Right? So an apostle is a gift. Say amen. Right? Yeah. And then he gave some prophets. Do you see? Yeah. And then he gave some evangelists. Hallelujah. And then he gave some pastors. And then he gave some teachers. Hallelujah. So everyone has one of these gifts. We generally refer to all of them as pastors. We generally refer to all of them as preachers. But within that, you can see that their gifts is like saying someone is a doctor. You get it, but he could be a gynecologist, he could be a pediatrician, he could be this, that, but there everybody is generally called a doctor. When you say all the doctors should sit on the left, then whether you're a gynecologist or a pediatrician or an oncologist or a dermatologist or any type of gist that you are, or doctor gist, right? You just move to the left. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Whatever your gist, you just sit, follow where the doctors are going. I think you understand what I'm saying. So we generally go, but within the gifts, there are specific emphasis. Do you understand? Right. So he gave apostles, some prophets, and some have evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, right? Then the next one, verse 12. Now he's trying to explain to us the purpose of the gifts. Do you understand? Right? Because remember, he's on his way to heaven. Now he's led captivity captive. And then he has given gifts to men. So what is the reason? It looks like there's a strategy, isn't it? The one that hinders people from being themselves and from living their fullest lives has been captured on his way to heaven. And he's taking the keys with him. Do you see? And then he has left believers here with a gift. So the gifts, what is their purpose? He says, it's for perfecting of the saints. The gifts he gave are for perfecting of the saints. Can you see that? For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, this is a verse that needs a little bit of explanation because, you know, if you read it as it sounds, as it is in this version, King James Version, it would sound like he gave the gifts for a number of purposes. One of them is perfecting of the saints. The second one is the work of the ministry. And then the third one is the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? But when you look at it critically, you see that all of them are the same thing. Do you see? The perfecting of the saints must be the work of the ministry. Now, if the work of ministry is not the perfecting of the saints, then I don't know what the work of the ministry is. What is the work of the ministry? What is the minister's work? The work of the ministry is the work of a minister. Yeah? The ministry is what he does. The one who does it is called the minister. Do you see what I'm saying? Just like driving is the job. The guy who does it is the driver. Isn't it? Yeah. So the work of the ministry is the work of ministering, right? So if the work of ministering is different from perfecting of the saints, then I don't know what we're talking about. Do you understand that? Yeah. So other versions, which are other translations, and I'm sure if you have any other, do you have any other version? Show me another version, right? And you see that that little comma after saints seems to be where the confusion is. That little comma there is what is confusing everybody. But look at this version here. It says his intention, you know, was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering. Can you see that? Now suddenly it begins to make sense, isn't it? Yeah? Do you have even yet another version? Do you have another one? You have another version, right? You don't? Okay, let's just work with this. She's changed it. Their responsibility, whose responsibility? Not the saints, the gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the what? Evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, right? Their job is, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Does it make sense now? So what is a pastor's job? What is an apostle's job? What is the job of an evangelist? What is the reason for the gift of teaching and the gift of pastoring people? What is God trying to do? God is giving his church gifts. Do you see? People through whom God is going to equip his saints for the work. Hallelujah. And that makes sense. You see, Jesus is the one who said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Isn't it? Any place where labor begins to experience a shortage, the first thing they put out is a sign, now hiring. Isn't it? Yeah, they start to hire. Anytime labor or the hands begin to fall short of the work that there is to be done, the first sign is now hiring. They start to hire more people. You start to engage more people and you start to involve more people. So you can imagine that if indeed the harvest is plentiful, if the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, then you can expect that God's next move would be to engage more laborers. Do you see? And not to hire or to appoint one pastor, you see, and make him a celebrity and make him the only one who is preaching and the only one who is praying for people, the only one who is visiting people, the only one who is following up on people, and the only one who is doing the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry will not get done that way. How many understand what I'm explaining? Yeah, it will not get done that way. You see, so God is going to have to get more people. Now, when you get more people, then you need people to train them, right? So instead of the people having the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher to do the work, that's just five people. Rather, make them trainers of everybody else, isn't it? So that their work becomes a training. You see, imagine that if you go to the college campuses, instead of the professors being in the classroom, teaching engineering, teaching medicine, teaching law, and so on, they should forget about it. They should go and be the engineers, and they should go and be the doctors, and they should go and be the lawyers. You see what I'm saying? We would have a huge shortage. You see, if everyone who was teaching a profession or a subject instead went to do it themselves. So we have a group of people we have to remove from doing the job themselves and send them to the classrooms to assemble the masses. Do you see? To assemble lots of people and teach them law. So after one law class of, let's say, 30 people, you release that one person, multiplies himself by 30. So instead of having one lawyer, we have now 30 lawyers plus the one who trained them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or we have 50 accountants plus the one accountant who trained them. Now, he's not going to go out there and do the accounting job. He's going to come back, and while the 50 he released are working, he's going to be training another 50 to release also out there. Isn't it? So if he would rather stay with the work that he's supposed to do, which is to train people, then he's going to have, very soon, we're going to have a nation filled with professionals and filled with lots of people. You know, the reason why some countries suffer is they don't do this simple thing well. You get it? They don't respect this simple thing that you have to equip the trainers to train and develop the people so that the people can develop the nation. Hallelujah. So this is the foundation of what we are about to study. Hallelujah. That God's people are not supposed to just become a Christian. Look, please try to understand this. I'm trying to lay a very solid foundation for the purpose of your Christianity. Do you see? And the purpose for which you have been left here on earth. Hallelujah. And that purpose, he says, God's people are supposed to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the other version, where's the Amplified Translation? Look at that again, the Amplified Translation. It says, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, you know, that is his consecrated people, that they should do. You see, that the saints should do, not the apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers. Do you understand? That's why you can't go tell your professor, go get a job. He will tell you, I have a job. My job is to prepare you to go get a job. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he says that they should do the work of ministry, right? Towards building up Christ's body, which is the church. Hallelujah. And this is what is supposed to be going on in every church. This is what is supposed, the purpose of every teaching, the purpose of every encouragement. It says the purpose of a pastor is to encourage you. A pastor is to encourage you and to feed you and to keep you strengthened. But the question must come up soon after that. For what? You see what I'm saying? You should ask yourself, for what? What is the purpose? I mean, if you take yourself as an individual, what is the reason why you wake up in the morning, eat some food, get yourself exercised, and stay encouraged? For what? To go back to bed. Right? Why don't we do that? Why don't you just wake up in the morning, stretch yourself, walk around the block a couple of times, keep yourself exercised, fit and strong, eat some food, feel good, just go right back to bed. Yeah. So you see, the concept of work just makes sense. It just makes sense because it allows for the use of the strength you just got. Do you see? It creates a depletion of the strength and then makes refueling even necessary. You see what I'm saying? Without that, and when people don't have that, then sickness sets in. You take a person who just eats and does not exercise, does not work, does not do anything. That is the formula for getting sick. Amen. If you know anybody who wants to be sick, show them that formula. That is the way to get sick. Do you see what I'm saying? And you see that most of the diseases that kill people, you know, when you go see a doctor with any kind of any disease that is considered serious, I mean, they start to watch what you're eating. And then the thing they ask you to do is whether you're exercising. Do you see what I'm saying? They want you to exercise because without it, the eating doesn't make sense. You see, the eating is fuel. It's like filling up your tank, your gas tank, just to park the car. Do you see? Yeah, you fill it up and then you park it. You fill it up and you just park it. That's not the purpose. You fill it up. Once it's full, it's for using. So you can expend the energy and then you create a need for the next filling. I think it makes sense. Are you understanding the word of God? Right? So God's people are supposed to be working for Him. Now, this is the plan. This is the plan. And that is where God has planned and linked that to our survival in the faith. And so look at the next verse. Verse 13, it says, so that it might develop, that is the church, might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. You know, it's very complex right here from this verse. But let's go to the other version. Go to the New Living Translation. I'm just trying to read a little less. Okay, right? Until we come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Hallelujah. That means the path to maturity in Christ is actually working for Him. Isn't it? Yeah. The way people are designed to develop in Christ is through working for Him. I mean, it's just so true. Isn't it? Even the way people develop in anything is by working in that thing. Is it not true? Yeah. The way people develop in anything. I mean, you take any job or any profession that requires people using their hands to do something, you know, soon after you've been reading a little bit, the next thing is they throw you into the job and then you start learning how to do it. If you were learning how to cook, you know, I don't know how long you'll be reading. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? they'll put you in a class and they'll teach you maybe food classes, different groups of foods, what are vitamins, what are vegetables, and what comes from where, and where do you get your proteins from, and things like that. And then probably they'll show you some skills like how to cut, how to dice, how to, you know, slice, and things like that. You do that for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. It's finished. The next thing is you need to get to the kitchen and start turning some stuff into food. Are you getting the picture? The rest of your progression and development as someone who's learning how to cook is going to come from what cooking you do, not from which books you read. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lots of people try to learn how to cook by reading books and looking at pictures of food. You see, but people who make pictures of food for us, they get away with it because we don't get to taste what they have made. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when you go on Facebook, you see some people just doing some fancy things. Has any of you seen that before? I mean, they see some fancy and they get away with it. It looks so simple because we don't get to taste it. They are just feeding our eyes. And our tongues have no say yet. Do you see? But it is very possible that what they're doing does not taste nice at all. You see what I'm saying? It is very possible that you would not even eat it for just 3 seconds. You would not stand it. But the thing is that you don't get to taste it. So you see what I'm saying? That is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to do the real thing. Can I have an amen? Maturity in Christ comes from working for God. Hallelujah. When people do not work for God, when ordinary, I'm talking about ordinary Christians. You see, for a long time, we've had the equation wrong. We've always expected that it is the pastor who must do the work of God. But now we understand that the pastor's work, the definition of work of God for the pastor is different. Do you see? The definition of working for God for the pastor is different. The pastor has worked for God when he is preparing the saints to work for God. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So when the pastor is preparing the saints to work for God, then the pastor is working for God. You see what I'm saying? Now the saints have to work for God in order to grow in God, to mature in God. Look at the verse. It says, this process must go on until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. So even your Christ-likeness also depends on that. Amen. The more you work for God, the more Christ-like you become. The more you work for Christ, the more like Him you become. Hallelujah. Again, just like any profession, the more you work, do the work of a driver, do the work of a doctor, do the work of an accountant, the more of an accountant you become. Is it not the case? Yeah. Soon you'll be on CNN as one of the experts. Do you see? Yeah. That's very, every time there's an issue, they find experts, isn't it? Now, those experts are not people who just started last week, but they look for people who've been doing this thing for some time. Those who are mature and full grown in the thing. You see what I'm saying? Who are mature and full grown, who are measuring up to the full stature of whatever that profession is. Those are the people they call experts. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so God wants to be, He wants you to be an expert in Him. He wants you to become someone who will yourself lead others to Christ, who will yourself lead others and help prepare others. And to do that, you yourself have to be prepared. Hallelujah. And then the next effect of that, verse 14, is that it says in verse 14, he says, then, when we become mature and solid, then we will no longer be like children. Isn't it? We will no longer be like children or like novices or like people who are new to what we are doing, isn't it? Yeah? Forever changing our minds about what we believe. That means backsliding will be cut off. Isn't it? Yeah. It means a cause of backsliding is the lack of working for God. The reason why people change their minds about what they believe. You see, the reason why, you know, let me just finish it. It says, about what, changing our minds, forever changing our minds about what we believe, because someone has told us something different. Huh? Or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Huh? Is this not what we experience all the time? This is the reason why people backslide in the faith. This is the reason why people don't make it in the faith. Because they meet someone who makes the lie look like the truth. They meet someone who tells them something different. They meet someone who cleverly lies to them. And they fall for the lies because they are like children, forever changing their minds about what they believe. But what is causing that? Because the treatment for this has not been applied. Do you understand? But he said that the pastors and so on are gifts, and their job is to prepare God's people for the work of the ministry to prevent this. Can I have an amen? So God's way of preventing people being tossed to and fro, people changing what they believe about Him, people backsliding, people being in church today and then taking a sabbatical, you know, you see, for each week that you go to church, you have to do 4 weeks without church, you know, and then wake up one day and just say, you know, I've backslidden. Because the devil pushes you back to a point where you wake up one day and then he tells you that you are, at this point, you are too far. You get it? You are too far. It's not even worth retracing your steps. You know, if you go to church now, everybody is going to be asking, where have you been? And everyone will be looking at you funny, and everyone will be thinking all sorts of things. Why don't you just stay put? Just stay here. I mean, you're already backsliding. I mean, and if you've come this far, why don't you just go all the way? Did you not hear the choir singing the other day in the church? All the way. So why don't you just take it all the way? It's a difficult place to be, yet a very easy place to find yourself. You can easily slip down the road to get to that point where you don't even, you can't find it within yourself to bring yourself back to where you were in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the cause of it is that instead of people being prepared for God's work and being trained and being given, I mean, ordinary people, isn't it? Remember, it says the saints, God's people, just the regular people, just you and I. Hallelujah. Point to your neighbor and say, it sounds like they're talking about you. Right? Yeah. Where's verse 11? Give us verse 11 again. Verse 11. No, verse 12, sorry. Verse 12. Right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Ask the person, are you one of God's people? Ask your neighbor and demand an answer. Right? What did they say? Are they God's people? Then tell them one more thing. Tell them, God is expecting you to do His work and build up the church. Amen. Then tell the person, I'm not making this up. I saw them talking about you in the Bible right there. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Oh. Is it making sense? Yeah? Yeah. And so you have today Christians who never grow up. Yeah. Forever changing their minds about what they believe. Do you see what I'm saying? You have Christians who may have come some distance in the faith, overcome some of the things that, you know, draw Christians back. You know, Christians who have stopped drinking alcohol. Christians who are trying to get their lives together. Christians who have stopped stealing, stopped lying, stopped cheating. You know, all the vices, you know, the world calls them vices. The Bible calls them sins. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, yeah, all of them, all those things, you see people haven't come some distance from them. And then soon they sort of fall back into those things and they don't even understand how they got back into it. So Christianity just becomes a cycle of up and down, up, down, up, down, up during the winter months, down in the summer months. Then fall and spring are used for preparation either to fall or to rise. No, the spring is a preparation to spring up during the summertime. And the fall is a preparation to fall during the winter months. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And for many Christians, this is the story of their lives. And if you think about it, you're not dead. And you don't look to me like people who are planning to die soon. So what will you be doing the rest of your life? How long are you going to be going up and down? Up and down. Up and down. Up. 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 Down. 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 Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So God's people keep going round in circles of immaturity. They are like children, you see, always changing because they have not been prepared. I mean, the real purpose for which God gave the gifts has not been realized. Hallelujah. But that is changing. Amen. I said that is changing. That is changing for you. In the name of Jesus. So verse 14. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Right? And the next one, next verse 15. Instead, we will hold to the truth. In love. Wow. We will become solid. We will become solid. Let me ask you a question and you give me a very honest answer. How many of you here today wish that you were a very solid Christian? Raise up your hand. Let me see. You know, there are some, we all know some people we think are solid Christians. You get it? Yeah. Whether they think they are solid is another thing. But that we all know some people, we wish we were like them in our Christian life, isn't it? Especially some people who seem to have an answer to every Christian question. Have you met some of those people? Yeah, they seem to have an answer to every question. Do you see? Yeah, there are some people who seem to be like that. They seem to have an answer to every question. Every time you are down, they seem to have a word of encouragement. Do you have words of encouragement just sitting around your lips or what? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So then you even wonder, do they ever go down themselves? Do they ever feel discouraged? Do they also ever feel like not going to church anymore or not reading their Bibles? You cannot even believe that they would have such times. Yeah. But whatever your definition of strong is, And whoever you think is an example of strong for you, the Bible says the way to hold on to the truth to become solid is by working for God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And becoming more and more in every way like Christ. Oh my goodness. Next time you meet some of the people that we have people who criticize us all the time. You know, every church has people who criticize it for one thing or the other. You know, one of the criticisms of our church is that we talk too much about people working for God. Do you see what I'm saying? Obviously, they have not read the Bible. Do you see? And you see, you have to believe really that people can talk loudly about something they know nothing about. Do you see what I'm saying? Confident speaking is not the same as informed speaking. The confidence with which someone delivers something does not make it fact. You see, but some people are good at making even lies look like the truth because they present it confidently. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, some people are very good at that. They can even make you think the car you brought is not the car you brought. Yeah. You see, they will just talk to you in a certain way and you will soon not, you won't even believe that your name is what it is. You get it? So, that is why I prefer to go by the scriptures. Now let's go by the scripture. What does the Bible say? You know, and you think about it. I mean, even outside the scriptures, practically, what does it take to remain a Christian for the rest of your life? In a world filled with temptations, you know, opportunities to fall, you know, difficulties in life, ups and downs, how in the world are you supposed to maintain yourself as a Christian and to keep serving the Lord until you turn 70? That is 40 years from now. And 50 for me. Do you see what I'm saying? Huh? 50 years from now for me, how am I supposed to survive? Do you get it? What strategies? Wouldn't you want to know what strategies? Wouldn't you know, wouldn't you want someone to tell you how you can remain solid? How you can hold on to the truth and become more and more in every way like Christ? That means in your character like Christ, in your marriage like Christ, right? In your spirituality like Christ, right? At your workplace like Christ. You see, as a man like Christ, as a woman like Christ, as a mother like Christ, as a father like Christ, in every way, be like Christ. How are you supposed to do that? What is the formula? Because we know that going to church regularly is not exactly what it is. What does it? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because going to church regularly itself needs help. Isn't it? Yeah. So that cannot be the solution. You see the thing? Yeah. That cannot be the solution because that itself. So even if that was a solution, who is going to help you to do that which gives you the solution? Do you see what I'm saying? You see, when someone is sick, what makes them well is the medication. Right. But you see, sometimes people cannot get well because the medication is sitting right next to them. But how to get this thing into this body is the problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Who is the person that is going to bring the medication and administer it to you as a solution and for you to benefit from what the medication has to offer? You get it? That's why nurses are very important. Do you see what I'm saying? People who help you to get well. You are the sick person. The medication is the solution. How to blend the two? You see, you need that middle person, right? So God is showing us that it's not just in going to church, but it is rather in working for God. Amen. It is rather in ordinary people Lycos, lay people, laymen, lay pastors, volunteers, getting involved with the work of God. That is how you can survive. Amen. He says that we become, so we can become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Is there another verse? 16. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Right? It helps the other parts to grow. All right? So as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Hallelujah. Right? Look at it again. Look, verse 15. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body. Right? The church. Okay? So Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body. Isn't it? It says it right there. That who is the head of his body? The church. So the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head. Isn't it? So everyone who is a part of a church is a part of the body of Christ. Is that correct? Right. So then verse 16 starts to make sense, which is under the direction of the head. Isn't it? Because all your body parts move under the direction of your head. Isn't it? Yeah. That is why your brains are protected. You see the investment of bone that has been made to keep your brains intact. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. So, it says the whole body, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part, that means each member of the body of Christ, every person in the church, not just the pastor. Hallelujah. Not just the pastor, but every person in the church, right? Under his direction, as each part does its own special work. That means as everybody in the church does his job in the church. That means if you're a part of the church, you need a job in the church. What do you think? Yes, everyone needs a job in the church. Everyone, we're hiring, right? Yeah. Everyone needs to be doing something special. Your part, your contribution. And it says it helps the other parts to grow. Wow. As everybody does their part, you help the other parts to grow. That means if the music people play well, the rest of the church grows. If those who sing well, the rest of the church grows. If the one who ushers properly, the rest of the church grows. Isn't it? Yeah? As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. Hallelujah. Yeah. Look, if your mouth does its own special work, do you get it? It helps the rest of the body to grow. What do you think? Yeah. That's how your fingers got to be their size. Because the mouth did its own special work. Isn't it? Yeah. As your mouth does, and many of our mouths do a great job. You know, our mouths do the job of eating and they do it really well. Isn't it? Yeah. And you can tell, when you see someone, you can see that their mouth is doing a really good job. You see what I'm saying? You want to congratulate their mouth. And then you see some people too, and then you want to rebuke their mouth. Yeah. Your mouth is an embarrassment to the body. Hallelujah. Amen. The legs, if they do their job, they help the rest of the body to grow. Hallelujah. Yeah. Most exercise involves the legs. Yeah. You, when the legs decide not to go, it's not easy to do much exercise without the legs. The legs have to carry you. The legs have to take you to the place. The legs have to run you to the place. They have to walk you to the place. They have to jog you to the place. Your legs, you need to give them good treatment, because when they give up on you, it's not going to be easy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Then the rest of the body begins to become sick because one part is failing. Hallelujah. Right? So it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Can I have an amen? So a healthy church is defined as a church that has all its members engaged fruitfully in working to help it to grow. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding it? That is a healthy church. A healthy church is a church that has so many moving parts and all the parts are actively working and doing their part. Hallelujah. As we're here, some people are looking after the kids over there. They are teaching them, because the little children also need to be taught. They also need to be taught, but they need to be taught in a different way, and they need to be taught different things. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even when we have to learn the same thing, we have to break it down in a different way. Just like it happens in your house. Hallelujah. Over time, they'll graduate and they'll come and join us by the grace of God. Can I have an amen? So we need a healthy and growing church. And for our church to be healthy and growing, we need ordinary people, lay people, volunteers, regular people, everyday people like you sitting right there, involved in helping the church to grow. Can I have an amen? The work of inviting people to church, the work of picking up people to church, the work of following up on visitors, the work on calling up people, the work of interacting with people when they come to church, the work of speaking words of encouragement to the discouraged, the work of helping God's people is the work of the members of the church. Amen. And the pastor's job is to prepare the members to do that work. Hallelujah. So that is what, in a nutshell, this study is going to be about. Does it sound exciting? Does it sound good? Does it sound like something you want to learn? Right. Hallelujah. So we're going to go deeper into it, or we're going to go more into it next week. Amen. But today I'm going to end my message right here. And because our time is up. You see? Right. But I'm going to close now, and then... But let me just finish this. Is there another verse after this? 17, what's in 17? With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Yeah. The ungodly people are hopelessly confused. Yeah. Right? It says don't live like that. Isn't it? Right? What's the next one? Don't live like ungodly people do, because they are confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. You know, one of the unfortunate things is when you can see that someone is wrong, genuinely wrong, but they won't even admit any light into their thoughts, to give them a chance for freedom. Do you see? Yeah. To give them a chance for freedom, to give them a chance at some help, just so they don't go down on the path that they have chosen. Hallelujah. Yeah, but they've closed their minds. There's some people, when you just speak to them, even about church, they don't want to hear any of it. At all. They don't want to hear any of it. I mean, but if you think about it, I mean, if you go to church, who benefits? You see what I'm saying? If you go to church, it is you who benefits. God wants to help you. When you're exposed to the word of God, it is your life that is improved. It is light that comes into your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, and that's what the devil doesn't want God's people to have. Because he has as much control over people as there is darkness in their lives. As long as light begins to shine into people's lives, the devil's control begins to diminish. Hallelujah. It begins to diminish. His power to destroy people's lives begins to go down. I mean, significantly. He cannot do many things he does to people because of the light those people are under. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even thieves don't break into cars when they are parked under light. That's the truth. Yeah. So when you go to the parking lot, choose the brightest spot. Yeah. Because they don't want people. See, evil needs darkness. Evil and darkness are partners. It's like you turn off the light and I do my thing. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Evil never works with light. You see? Yeah. So there's more crime in the night than there is in the daytime. There's more crime when the lights are off than when the lights are on. There's more crime when people, criminals go to a house, you know, home invasions and whatnot. They want to turn all the lights off so no one can see them. Have you ever wondered why when people are robbing the bank, they put on those hoods, yeah, balaclavas, and the mask, and they wear those things? Why don't they just take the thing off since you're going to rob them anyway? Yeah, why don't you just take it off? But they need to be in darkness. They have to be hidden. I'm going to do it, but you must not see me. Do you get it? Sometimes I wonder, all these terrorists, I wonder why they do what they do and then just run away. But I was just thinking that if they are really bold, why don't you do it and stand by it? Yeah. Just do it and then stand right there and say, yeah, I did it. Come and get me. But they have to hide because darkness is required for evil. Hallelujah. God is taking you out of darkness. I said God is taking you out of darkness. Don't close your mind to the things of God. Open up yourself to the things of God. Hallelujah. So he says their closed minds are full of darkness, and that causes them to be far away from the life of God. The life of victory, the life of love, the life of power. You are distanced from it because your minds have been hardened and your heart is hardened against him. But that will not be your story in Jesus' name. Amen. And then finally, verse 19. Right? They don't care anymore about right and wrong. And they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. See, this is what happens to people when the pastors, the gifts don't do their job. Do you see? Or when people are not brought in to be involved with the work of God. Hallelujah. So I pray that all of us will love the opportunity to be involved with the work. If our church is going to grow, we are going to need everybody, every part of it working functionally, isn't it? Every part of it contributing something. Everybody contributing and working, not partially. Do you see? Because if your kidneys work partially, you will not be happy. Do you get it? If your eyes work partially, I mean, if your eyes just take a day off, like this morning you wake up and your eyes will not open, or they open but they refuse to see, and they say, you know something, it's Sunday, you know, so today I'm off. Huh? See, you rely on every single, but there is nobody part of yours that's given a break on any day. Is it true or not? Huh? Every part of your body, every organ, every part of you is being given full duties every day. And you are relying on it. Isn't it? You rely on your eyes to see. You rely on your ears to hear. You rely on your nose to breathe. You rely on your teeth to chew. You rely on your tongue to taste. You rely on your hands to pick. I mean, and you use them a lot every day. And the Bible says the church is the body of Christ. And you and I are members of it, of that body. So how can it be that we belong to Christ? Why can't Christ expect that his body parts function fully, always? What do you think? Yeah. And if Christ cannot expect that his body parts will function fully, always, then you don't have a right to ask him to help your body parts to function fully, always. What do you think? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's one of the reasons why people get sick. Because you are not being faithful in that which is another man's. But I see you being faithful in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. And this is the book. I want you to start reading it on your own. Amen. Start reading it and bring it while we're doing this exercise during this season. I want you to bring it with you each time to church. Will you bring it? Are you sure? The trick is to keep it with your Bible. If you use an iPad, keep it in the iPad. Just keep it in there so it always comes with you. Okay? Will you do that? Okay. So bring it next Sunday and we're going to continue studying from the book. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody I'm a lay person. That means I'm an ordinary person. I'm a regular person. But I can contribute. I can help the work of God. I can help build the church of God. Amen. Now let's bow our heads in prayer. Everybody just close your eyes. Just think about what you heard today. Think about the message, what I just shared with you, and see it as God speaking to you. Remember, he said that the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, the evangelists, and the prophets, their job is to prepare God's people for works of service. And so what I just did is intended to prepare you for works of service. God wants you to work for him. God wants you to work for him. God wants you to get involved. Your survival as a Christian depends on that. Being able to stay and to remain and to continue holding on to the truth depends on whether or not you are involved with the work of God. If you're not involved with the work of God, if you just make yourself one who just goes to church and just sits down and goes back home, just comes to church, sits down and goes back home. If you make yourself that kind of a person, you are sure not to last, because you will be like a child who is tossed to and fro, like the scripture says. But God wants you to be solid. God wants others to be able to lean on you. God wants others to be able to rely on you. God wants others to be able to look up to you. Others to be able to call on you when they are down. God wants others to be able to lean on you when they need someone to lean on. Can God rely on you today? I want you to pray today and say, Lord, make me one of those people. I want to say that you can count on me. You can depend on me. I know you need somebody, Lord, and you can depend on me. Just tell the church, tell the Lord, you can count on me, Lord. I want to make myself available. I want to be one of those lay people those ordinary people, those regular people, those everyday people who give themselves over to your work and to who help build up, who help to build up your church and build up your work. Thank you. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Everybody talk to God. Everyone has something to say to God today. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're one of those that should be praying for the church. Fasting and praying for the church. Maybe you're one of those that need to be following up on people who come to church. Following up on people we haven't seen in a while. Following up on visitors. Following up on new converts. Maybe you're one of those people. Be determined, because your own salvation and your own survival depends on it. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for speaking to us today. Here I stand. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your sing. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. Sing it again. Tell the Lord, my life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself. I give myself to you. My life is not my own for the last time. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself.
myself away.
So you, can use me.
Can use me.
Lord, I give myself,
myself away.
Use us to build your church. Use us.
I give myself away. So you can use me.
Thank you, Lord. Now, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, in the privacy of this moment, I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, because I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be sure that when I die, I will go to heaven. I want to be sure that I am a child of God. Maybe this is your first time in the church. Maybe you've been here before or have been coming here. But you know in your heart that you are far from God. And you know in your heart that you need a reconciliation with God. You need to start again with God. You need to start afresh with God. Today is a good opportunity to do that. God has provided for you to be restored to Him today. If only you will be bold to take that step. If only you will be sincere to say, that is me, this is me, this is me. God will meet you at the point of your need and God will help you. So if you're here like that, while every eye is closed, and I really mean, let's all close our eyes, please. And I want you to just slip up your right hand so I can see it, and I'm going to pray for you. You want to make that commitment to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus today. You want to renew your commitment to Christ today. You want to start a new walk with God today. Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anyone who needs to start a new relationship with God? Who needs to revive an existing relationship with God? Is there anybody here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, God is making this invitation to you. God is giving you this opportunity. And I hope that you don't let it pass you by. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That Jesus came into this world.
That Jesus came into this world.
To save sinners like me.
To save sinners like me.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I surrender my heart to you.
I surrender my heart to you.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my
Forgive
heart.
My sins.
Forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
Make me a child of God.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to hold on to the truth.
Help me to hold on to the truth.
Until you come back for me.
Until you come
Thank you, Jesus,
Thank you, Jesus,
for hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.